Hare Krishna, devotees. Welcome to another evening of Chaitanya Katha. We are in the 10th chapter of the Adi Leela, and we are in the middle of the story about the first marriage of Lord Chaitanya. So let's just see. Okay, right. We're right in the middle, actually, and of the narration, and we're coming actually to the point, well, the wedding itself is beginning. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shmati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharya Niravishesha Shunyavadi Pastya Chadishtarya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pramanityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchikalpa Charubhyascha Kripa Sindhurubhyevacha Paditanam Havanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Yes, so that on the morning of the wedding ceremony, Nimai awoke, took bath, gave charity, and worshipped his forefathers. This is what Chaitanya Bhagavat says. So it's early in the morning, and the festive mood is really developing. There are auspicious sounds of singing, dancing, musical instruments, and people organizing different things. Chaitanya Bhagavat says they were shouting out, "Give this! Take that!" Trying to get everything organized for the ceremony. And of course there are all sorts of wonderful people there. The Chaitanya Bhagavat says many chaste women, well-wishers, friends, and respected Brahmins graced the function. And Mother Sachi was giving charity to the ladies. She gave them puffed rice, bananas, kumkum, betel, and oil. And of course, it's such a ceremony, such a situation. with the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself there, right at the center of this. Now, of course, wedding ceremonies are always, you know, special things, but this is now just, oh, super special. So, therefore, many demigods and their wives took the form of humans, and they came in and joined in with the ceremony, wanting to get some of the mercy and some of the nectar. So, Vallabhacharya, remember Vallabhacharya? He is the father of the bride. Vanamali was the matchmaker. Vallabhacharya is the father of the bride to be Lord Chaitanya's father-in-law. So he performed different types of worship according to the Vedic injunctions. We just heard how Lord Chaitanya did some sort of worship of forefathers. Vallabhacharya did also, and he offered different auspicious items to different forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even to demigods. So then, at an auspicious time, at dusk, right at this time of the day, Lord Gauranga arrived at the house of Vallabhacharya. And as soon as Nimai Gaurachandra arrived at the house, Vallabhacharya and his family members and other associates, they just drowned in an ocean of bliss. So then Vallabhacharya respectfully offered a seat to his son-in-law to be, well, he's just right becoming the son-in-law right then and there, respectfully offered him a seat and then welcomed him according to Vedic injunctions. So everyone began chanting the names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as they lifted Lakshmi, the bride, off the ground. This is really quite special. So they lifted Lakshmi off the ground, and then they carried Lakshmi around Nimai 7 times. And then as they placed her right in front of Nimai, she offered her obeisances to her husband to be in the process of becoming. Yes? So, they exchanged flower garlands. In this way, Lakshmi Devi and Nimai, the original Narayan, were both extremely pleased. So after Lakshmi Devi offered garlands at the lotus feet of Nimai, then she offered obeisances to him again. Oh, actually, it says she offered him obeisances with full surrender. Hare Krishna. And all that could be heard was the loud shouting of all glories to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Hari. So, like this, then they performed the ceremony of seeing each other's face for the first time. And then the Lord sat down with Lakshmi on his left. And Nimai's youthful beauty completely defeated the beauty of Cupid, multiplied many, many times. So, who has the ability to describe that wonderful scene and the happiness that was experienced at the house of Vallabhacharya? So finally, Vallabhacharya, who is none different from Bhishmaka, gave his daughter to Lord Gaura. Who is Bhishmaka? It's the father of Rukmini, Maharaj Bhishmaka, yes. So he's non-different from, Vallabhacharya is non-different from Bhishmaka. And how is that? Because he is Bhishmaka. Yes. And his daughter is just appearing again with him in his family in preparation for being given to her eternal consort, Lord Krishna. So, the same lotus feet that are worshipped by Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma to obtain the power of creation were now worshipped by the respected Brahmin Vallabhacharya. He then also decorated the body of the Lord with sandalwood pulp, with cloth, with flower garlands, all these things he offered to Lord Gaura. Vallabhacharya was just overpowered with ecstasy. Then the chaste ladies performed the various traditional family rituals, and that night the Lord stayed at the house of Vallabhacharya, and the next day he returned home with Lakshmi. So, as Nimai and Lakshmi were carried home in a palanquin, on the route, so many people just came running out to see this glorious, transcendental couple, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his eternal consort. And so people were saying, oh, they're just like Indra and Sachi. Others were saying, they're just like Cupid and Rati. And one girl said, I think they are Lakshmi and Narayan. So when the couple arrived at Nimai's house in the evening of the day after the wedding ceremony, so they were greeted by so many people, devotees, dancing, singing, playing musical instruments. Yes. And then Mother Sachi, with some of her other Brahmin lady associates, welcomed Lakshmi to their house. So then, thereafter, Mother Sachi satisfied the Brahmins, musicians and dancers with money, cloth and sweet words, and devotees. I hope you were listening carefully. Were you listening carefully? Because I didn't read the blessing. I didn't read the blessing. I'm sorry, I should have. Whoever hears these auspicious topics of the Lord's marriage is never entangled in worldly life. And at the end, he goes to the most effulgent abode. So, such a wonderful effulgence was coming from the house of Mother Sachi that Mother Sachi was having difficulty keeping her eyes open. It was just too dazzling. Mother Sachi could not even see properly. Sometimes Sachi saw flames of fire at the side of her son, but when she looked again, they were gone. When she sometimes smelled the fragrance of a lotus flower, she was utterly astonished. Sachi thought, I can understand the reason for this, smelling that fragrance. This girl is an expansion of Lakshmi Devi herself. Little did she know that the girl, the wife now, of Nimai is Lakshmi herself, and therefore just unlimited auspiciousness is there. That is why I see this effulgence and smell the fragrance of lotus flowers. Now we may not face any poverty like before. Otherwise, where has everything come from since this daughter-in-law, Lakshmi, entered my house? So, who can understand the supreme will of the Lord? How and when does he perform his pastimes? Until the Lord himself allows one to know him, even Lakshmi has no power to understand him. The Vedas, Puranas, and other scriptures confirm that only one who is favored by the Lord can understand him. Accepting Sri Chaitanya and Nityananda Prabhu as my life and soul, I, Vrindavan Das, sing the glories of their lotus feet. So that's the end of the 10th chapter. Now we will go into the 11th chapter. So what's described here in this 11th chapter? Let's just have a look at the chapter description by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura. This chapter describes various subjects like the scholastic pastimes of Nimai Pandit, Mukunda's chanting the names of Krishna in Advaita's assembly, Nimai's sporting pastimes with Mukunda, the godlessness of Nadia, the arrival of Ishvara Puri in Navadvip, his meeting with Advaita Prabhu, his accepting lunch, and discussing topics of Krishna at Lord Gaura's house, him teaching his own book, Sri Krishna Lilamrita, to Sri Gadadhar Pandit, Nimai's comments on that book, and enjoying topics of Krishna with Sri Puripa. So now, Lord Gauranga is a grihastha, he's a married man now, and now he is teaching Sanskrit grammar. This is what he's doing to make a living. He's teaching Sanskrit grammar. And the description here in this 11th chapter is that Lord Gauranga, he was such an incredible scholar and such an amazing teacher that soon he had thousands of disciples, students, thousands of them. And after the morning classes, before lunch, they would wander throughout Navadvipa with Lord Gaurachandra, intoxicated from scholastic mellows. So, okay. So let's go through. First of all, the first description is Lord Chaitanya. How wonderful he was, how incredible were his explanations, and how the people became inspired by him. And then what it builds up to is this, what we just read the mention of, his meetings with Mukunda, who was one of his close associates and very great devotee, eternal associate, actually. So, in this way, Lord Gaura, the best of the Brahmins, confidentially lived in Navadvipa. He had no engagement other than studying. His form was as enchanting as millions of cupids. Each of his limbs was incomparably charming. His arms extended to his knees, and his eyes were like the petals of a lotus. He chewed betel nut and dressed divinely. So, yes, so he then, he would walk around the Navadvipa area with his very large band of students, holding in his hand, in one hand, his the books he was teaching from, which were all manifestations of the transcendental Saraswati, the transcendental goddess of learning. Holding in his hand his beloved Saraswati in the form of a book. Devotees, listen to this. There was no scholar in Navadvipa who could understand Nimai's explanations. The Lord explained or discussed his explanations only with Gangadas Pandit. Only with Gangadas Pandit, who was his teacher. So everyone was fascinated with Nimai as a householder, with all leading his students and making the most incredible sort of mind-boggling presentations. Yes, so the materialistic people said, the parents of this boy are certainly glorious. What can they be lacking? All the ladies considered the Lord to be as attractive as Cupid. And the atheist considered him to be death personified. Mm-hmm. For the atheist. Yes. All the learned scholars considered him equal to Brihaspati, the chief priest of the demigods. So in this way everyone appreciated Lord Gauranga according to their own perceptions, their own state of consciousness like that. And the Vaishnavas, they were so happy. They were so happy to see Lord Gauranga. They were so happy. Chaitanya Bhagavat says, seeing Vishvambar's attractive form, the Vaishnavas felt both jubilation and lamentation. Listen to this. The Vaishnavas thought, although he has such a divine body, he has no attraction for Krishna. At this point in his pastimes, Lord Chaitanya is not manifesting himself as a devotee. Now he is in the mood of the scholar, the big, highly educated specialist in grammar, philosophy, like that. So he has no attraction for Krishna. What good is his education if he simply wastes his time? All the Vaishnavas were bewildered by the internal potency of the Lord. So even though they saw the Lord face to face, they didn't understand him. Although they directly saw the Lord, some of the devotees said to him, why are you wasting your time with this fruitless effort of study of Sanskrit grammar? This fruitless pursuit of knowledge. And when they said that to him, Lord Gauranga would simply, in a very humble way, say, I am very fortunate to be instructed by you. So there's some sort of change taking place according to this, but he hasn't really changed into a devotee. Yes. So, as he was thus engaged in scholastic pastimes, his eternal servants, who had descended with him from the spiritual world, they were under Yoga Maya, and none of them could recognize him. Okay. So, now, so all the devotees would regularly meet in the house of Advaita Acharya every afternoon. So, let me just read this. This is quite something. Sri Mukunda was a singer, kirtan singer. Amazing kirtan singer. Who's our best singer in Radharadnath Temple? Sachi Kumar Prabhu. I think so. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can only scream. But Mukunda, he is this most incredible singer. Sri Mukunda was most dear to all the Vaishnavas. Their hearts all melted when he sang. In the afternoon, all the devotees regularly met in the house of Advaita Prabhu. And as soon as Mukunda would begin singing about Krishna, everyone there fell to the ground in ecstatic love. Some of them cried, some laughed, and others danced. The clothes of some persons scattered as they rolled on the ground. Someone roared as he challenged the agents of Maya, and someone else caught hold of Mukunda's feet. In this way, the Vaishnavas enjoyed great ecstasy and forgot all forms of distress. So now, actually, Nimai, Lord Gauranga, is most satisfied with Mukunda. But because the Lord has not manifested his real pastimes yet, I mean, Sankirtan pastimes, he's in his pastimes as a great scholar and great, you know, philosopher and grammarian. So, even though he was very satisfied with Mukunda, he didn't manifest it. Rather, what he did, he would challenge Mukunda regularly about Sanskrit grammar, logical arguments, and things like that. So, the Lord would ask Mukunda for some clarification on a point, and when Mukunda answered him, the Lord would say, "Wrong!" And immediately an argument would begin. By the mercy of the Lord, Mukunda was very learned. Thus he was able to present arguments and counter-arguments to Nimai's challenge. In this way, the Lord recognized his devotees by challenging them for clarification on some point. But they were all defeated in the ensuing argument. Srivas and other devotees were all challenged in this way by the Lord, but they would all run away in fear of wasting time in useless arguments. As soon as the Lord saw any devotee, he would challenge him. And when the devotee failed to give the correct response, the Lord would tease him. The devotees all loved to hear topics concerning Lord Krishna, but Nimai did not mention anything about Krishna when he challenged them. So one day, Nimai was walking in the street with his associate Govinda, famous devotee Govinda. And who should they see coming from the other direction but Mukunda? And so they're approaching. Mukunda was looking down. He looked up and he saw Lord Gauranga and Govinda. Suddenly he changed direction. And Nimai asked Govinda, why did he suddenly go in another direction? And Govinda said, well, I assume he has some other business somewhere over there. And Lord Gauranga said, I know the reason why he's avoiding me. He doesn't want to speak with a non-devotee. Whoa, Krishna. This boy studies only Vaishnav literatures, while I explain only grammar. I do not speak anything about Krishna. Therefore he ran away when he saw me. The Lord called Mukunda some ill names, yet he was actually satisfied with him. At the same time, the Lord indirectly disclosed his identity. So the Lord now, he has confronted Mukunda. Listen to this. The Lord said, "My dear boy, how long will you avoid my clutches? Do you think you'll escape my association by running away?" Smiling, the Lord said, "When I finish my studies, then you will all see my Vaishnav qualities. I will become such a Vaishnav that Brahma and Shiva will come to my door. My dear brothers, listen to me. I will become an extraordinary Vaishnav. Those who run away from me today will chant my glories and qualities as a Vaishnav tomorrow. Brahma and Shiva will come and offer their obeisances to me." Leaving Mukunda in a state of astonishment. After speaking this way, Nimai smiled and returned home with his students. Who can understand these pastimes enjoyed by Lord Vishvambhar unless he reveals them? In this way, the devotees resided in Navadvip, which was filled with people who were intoxicated with wealth and children. Hare Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jaya. Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat ki jaya. Srila Prabhupada.